You are tuned into Business Sense on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Well, hello to you. Welcome to the second and final hour of the show. It is the 10th of February, 2025. It is a Monday. That means we talk personal finance. And today we're talking about real estate for generational wealth creation. So building wealth through real estate involves multiple strategies, from generating passive income to leveraging tax benefits. This type of investment could help boost any investment portfolio. So Deslandi Fernando joins us this evening to share how we can then use real estate to create generational wealth, and is joining us this evening once again. Say good evening. Welcome to the show.
Good evening. Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for joining us. Really, really appreciate you. How's the year so far?
So far, so good. Can't really complain on your side, Tapelo.
No, we are good. We're expecting a lot from the Lord this year, so hopefully things will turn out the way they should. But I'm happy to hear that so far, so good from your side as well.
Thank you. Yes.
Fantastic.
Looking forward.
Definitely. In 30 seconds or so, for people who may not know you or ever heard you speak to us previously, how do you explain and tell people who you are and maybe what you do?
Well, quite simple. I'm a real estate agent.
Yeah.
I make people's dream come true.
Yes. I love that. You make people's dreams come true, right?
Yes.
Thank you so much. I love that. Okay, let's get into it now. Generational wealth creation through real estate. How do you define from your own side what generational wealth is? Because I really find that a lot of people have different definitions. They attach different meanings to it. How would you define it, especially in the context of this real estate stuff?
Well, for me, I would say that generational wealth refers to financial security.
Okay.
And knowledge passed down from generation to generation, you know, and which allows people to have a strong foundation and opportunities without having the same struggle as the previous generation.
Yeah. Now, you mentioned something important, though. You say knowledge. So it's not about money that I get from my previous generation. In other words, if I don't have someone in my family that had money before, there's no generational wealth for me. You're saying it's not about that. It's about knowledge that is passed down.
Yes. It's a compound effect. It's the whole package. So you might have money, but not the necessary skills and knowledge to actually accumulate and multiply. So knowledge and wisdom are also part of generational wealth.
They are very important. Okay. And what are some of the ways then in which someone can maybe start to create this generational wealth thing that's almost like a hashtag everywhere? What are the ways that one can get on board?
Well, first we need to understand that it takes time. So it's not something that can happen overnight. But there are many ways that one can start. In this case, we're talking about real estate.
This
is one of the, I would say, one of the safest avenue to actually start the generational wealth.
Safest. Yes. Someone would glance a few years back and there was a real estate bubble that almost crippled the entire world. Is this a safe thing, this generational wealth through real estate, for example?
Yes, it still remains one of the safest compared to any other form of investment.
Yeah.
When you look at how risk other investments are, they offer greater reward, but they also greater risk with them. So property itself, it's a slow investment, but steady. And over time can actually pay huge rewards. And it's easier to pass down to other generations when it's properly structured.
Yeah. Okay, that makes sense. I love that, because I think that then gets us beautifully into what we are talking about. Tell us then those real estate specific strategies that we can use then for generational wealth building using real estate. Like you said, there's many of them. Real estate is one of them. But let's zoom in then on this real estate. How do I build it? Do I buy more houses? Do I make sure that my credit score is up to scratch so that I can have 3, 4, 5 houses? And then I start building generational wealth using real estate, of course.
Well, it's a combination of many things.
Yeah.
But primarily one has to define what kind of investment does one to invest and how does one to play on the property sector.
Yeah.
You know, some may love the idea of buying money properties and rent them out. Some may not want that stress, may just want to have cash, you know, all the time, and then they'll be in your buy and resell.
Yeah.
So a few of them, the first one would be buy and hold.
Okay.
You buy a property early and then you hold, and then with the aim to sell at later stage.
Mm-hmm.
So for example, when you see a new development coming up, you quickly buy it without doing any renovation. You just hold the property. Then after a period of years, consider the influx, the demand in the area.
Yes.
Then you automatically make profit and you resell it.
Yeah.
Yes. Then we have the rental properties, which is one of the very common practice amongst them. Many people. So it should be rental properties where they buy properties, they rent them out.
Mm.
And multi-let seems to be one of the most common ones.
Mm.
So they will be having a multi-let and then they will rent it for a certain period.
Yeah.
And that is how they build their portfolio.
Okay.
And And then they will also have house hiking. House hiking actually works very well for this kind of economy that we have.
Yeah.
It's whereby you rent out part of your house and you still stay in the house
to
help you cover your costs. Because the economy is quite challenging right now.
So
we could consider that avenue whereby if you have a property with a flat let, you stay in the flat let and then you have the main house rented out.
I see. I thought that was a more popular one than the rental strategy.
Funny enough, it's not so popular because people want privacy and want to share.
That makes sense. Yeah.
Yes, but actually it's one of the great tools to actually leverage right now.
Yeah, yeah. I suppose for young people who want a bit of freedom, they don't want the landlord in the same yard as me because I want my freedom to bring people when I want. And if the landlord is there, it's like, it's 2 a.m. and you all are still partying in my house. I'm sure that becomes a big thing for young people.
Yeah, that's true. But you can always modify the house.
For
having two entrances so that it can make sure there's privacy and still helps you to reach your goal.
That makes sense. That makes sense. Now, there's this one, Desland, if you can also help us, and whether that's also a way to build generational wealth, where you buy and stay in your house. Because I hear a lot of people say that's not building wealth because you are staying in that house. So it's literally not generating anything for you. But, I mean, I stay in this house. If I pay it back in 5, 10 years, I can still sell it. The value would have appreciated. So am I building wealth? In other words, am I building wealth if I'm staying in my house?
Oh, yes. That's the debate of if it's a house and an asset or not. Well, obviously, we define an asset anything that brings you an income.
Yes.
This is a simplest definition. But are you still building wealth when you stay in your house? I would say yes.
Yeah.
If you understand how generational wealth can be structured, then you are definitely doing so. Because you could have a property and then you stay in the property, you pay it off, then you can pass it on to your children, for example. That alone, you give them a huge start. They don't have to look for a property. They will have something to can leverage for them to start their own business and things like that. So if you understand the long term, any strategy can actually work out if structures are in place on how to pass it on.
Yeah.
So the problem that we're having is that, especially the older generations, that they pay off the property, but they, I would say, they want to die with them on their name.
Yes.
Which is supposed to be actually finding ways to, how do I pass it on to my children?
Yeah.
So that by the time they start working, they don't have to start from zero. There's already a property in place. Then they can go on, create business and so forth, and even use the current property to actually acquire more properties.
Yeah.
So this is how we build generational wealth, by having structures in place that allow us to pass it on to other people
yeah.
without hassle or without any inconvenience.
That makes sense. And liquidity, does it play a role in my strategy, whichever one that I choose here? Because I'm sure that that's a big thing as well.
Yeah, it does. It does because you can do so much with what is available.
Mm.
So you need to understand, this is the part where discipline comes in and mm. understand how money works and how mm. to actually budget. Mm. One of the reasons that people struggle the most is because we don't know how to budget.
Yes.
And we ignore that department so much.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
But it plays a huge role. If we do not understand numbers, we can't build anything.
Yeah, definitely. Is this thing not for wealthy people, Fernando? This thing of building wealth using real estate sounds like it's for people that can even, you know, in the first place, qualify for a house, for example. Maybe they can start building from there. But if I can't, you know, qualify even for a house, I don't have a million rands lying around. So is this not for those people that at least have some sort of money?
Well, this is the idea that many people have, that you need to have X amount of money in order to join the property sector or in order to start building generational wealth.
Mm.
No, that's not entirely true.
Mm.
There are some tools that you can still use even though you do not have, you know, large amount of money.
Mm.
So, for example, there are avenues such as the government housing finance, which is known flips,
yeah.
you know.
Yeah.
So you could use that avenue. We also have, for example, if you have a stable income and you receive pay slips, that alone is enough for you to start looking into property industry, you know. So, but also you need to understand that you need to start small, you know, with a modest property, for example.
Yeah.
You could start with the RDP, you know, and then from the RDP, you move to a more decent apartment.
Yeah.
And you move like that. Just like any other business, property industry works the same way. So you need to build to say, okay, I will start with the 150,000 property, but my ultimate goal is to own luxurious property.
And then
you have a plan in place, and then you start to leverage that, and then slowly you build up.
Yeah.
And also, most important is that people need to access knowledge.
Many
people don't know how things work, so that alone makes them think that it's impossible or cannot be done until they sit with those who have started slow as well and smaller than them. Then they start to believe that actually my dreams are valid and actually can be achievable.
Yes.
And I've seen people that are doing it.
Yeah. Does perception play a role here in your experience? Because you mentioned that you can start with an RDP and start building from there. But there are people who are like, I can't start there. And then plunge themselves into debt of a house that's 1 point something million when their salary does not allow them to at least have that sort of property range and all that. But because of perception, they want to be seen to be living in a certain suburb, a certain lifestyle, when in fact that house, clearly if numbers are to be believed, it's not, you know, you can't afford that house.
Yeah, a lot. My years of experience, I've seen the desire to be seen, to be known, and to belong to in a specific, you know, society. It's what is crippling us because we do not want to accept our reality. So that in the long term, it affects us greatly because the people that we're trying to impress so much, they don't even care about us.
Yeah.
They don't, they're not even concerned that you have now left X or Z suburb and now you've left somewhere else. You
know,
they will talk, but they will never help you to pay anything.
No, they won't.
Yeah, so if mentally people understand and they can clearly see their vision, I believe that they can achieve so many things. So it's important that people have a clear vision, especially in the property industry, where they want to get.
And what's the best time then, in your experience, once again, what's the best time to start then investing in property as a way to build generational wealth? Some people would say, maybe if I get my post-grad first, then I can start going there. Or maybe just when I'm about to start a family, you know, then I can start thinking about maybe investing in property as a way to then build something for my family. But if I'm still a single guy, why do I even want to entangle myself in this thing? Because at least with rental, I can move here and there, and then no one is going to ask me, what are you doing? We want our monthly installment at the end of the month.
Well, we in real estate, we always say the best time to buy is always yesterday.
Is oh, okay.
Yes. So I would say that once you have a steady income, you have some savings,
Yeah.
especially an emergency fund as well.
Yeah.
You start building your credit score.
Yeah.
You at least get a good credit score. You
Yeah.
understand the property market.
Yeah.
Then you are ready to actually explore that. You know,
Yeah.
it's you need to educate yourself first. Read
Yeah.
books, attend seminar, research on property market. You know,
Yeah.
improve your credit score.
Yeah.
That will help you to get better interest and negotiate better with the bank. Have at
Mm.
least 10 to 20% of a property for you that you want to buy saved, because many people, they don't have any savings. And when they have to buy a property and they come across with a legal cost, they wonder what can they do. And yeah, these are some of the problems. And also understand that there's more than just property ownership. There's extra costs, you know, apart from your bond, there is maintenance, there is your levies and so forth. So if you don't understand that and you're not prepared mentally and financially, that can be a problem.
Yeah, I want to come back to that because you're raising some really important things there around, you know, what are the things to note before you get into purchasing property and things like levies and before you get into to that bit as well. But I want to then zoom into this thing of a deposit. Does it really have an impact?
Well, it does have an impact in terms of also your repayment.
Okay.
But my majority of the time, deposit may be required when your credit score is also not good. And as well as what kind of property you're buying. There are banks that can be a little bit strict in terms of, for example, if you're getting a multi-let and they know that that will be for an investment, they may require 10 to 20%. But if it's a family home, primary residence may not require, they may approve you 100% and sometimes even 110%, which include the costs. So yeah, so there are many factors that plays around deposit, but overall always will go down to two things, which is your affordability and your credit score. You know, those are like your credential for any negotiation type,
Any
you know.
negotiation, eh?
So yeah, if you have those two, you are likely to land the better deals, you are likely to score, you know, better interest rate for yourself and things like that. Yes.
So I'm the average guy. I'm the average Joe on the street. Maybe let's just say I've just graduated, got my job, and I hear that this land says the best time to start building generational wealth through property investing is yesterday. And so I'm like, you know what? Let me jump onto this thing. Where do I start? What are some of the things to take note of before buying, or else maybe I might find myself in hot waters? So what am I supposed to check?
Okay, the first thing obviously we already covered that you need to attend seminar, you need to study, you need to understand how the South African market works, the real estate. Now, let's say you have covered all this, you now have enough income. I mean, the savings is there. You have looked at your budget and that you would afford to have this bond and your expenses in your monthly expenses, and you're fine with that. So now we go to now. What you have to do before actually buy or before making an offer. Number one would be the location. You know, we can't emphasize more about location. Property in high demand areas, you know, appreciate faster. This is very important. So you need to understand where you're going to buy so that the value can appreciate faster, especially if you are planning to rent them out. Number two is that you need to understand the future market trends, means that you need to understand the new developments, new rental demand, new infrastructure in the area. So you need to be aware of where is the direction of this municipality, for example, going to,
Oh,
you know,
okay.
is it going to be turning to a metro or will
Yes.
remain, you know?
Yes.
Also, you have to check, okay, for the past 5 years, what happened? Was there growth or not, you know? Okay, number two, now that's number three. Now will be that you must do your due diligence, you know,
Yes.
inspect the property, check the laws on rezoning, for
Sure,
example.
sure.
Check your hidden costs, you
Sure.
know. Number two, now you've got your approval, you're happy with the property, you've made an offer. Now, what you have to understand as well that you need to understand your mortgage terms and conditions, your loans, you know. you need to thoroughly read it so that you can understand what's expected of you.
Yes.
Should it be fixed? Should it be flexible?
Yes.
And more importantly, above all, after you've bought the properties, that you need to have exit strategy.
Exit what strategy.
Because you make money on the property not when you sell, but when you buy.
Ah, okay.
So you need to buy. You need to buy at the right place at the right time.
Okay.
And look at your finance so that by the time you buy, that's actually when you make money. When you make money, but your money was made when you were buying, not when you were selling. So exit strategy is important.
Sure.
And that exit strategy also will inform you on how are you going to even upgrade the house.
Sure. Sure.
For example, you may buy a property that with an intent to turn into student accommodation.
Yeah.
So you need to renovate it in a way that says, should one day I don't want student accommodation anymore and I want to turn into a normal family home. This can still work.
Maybe the
rooms, instead of being so many single rooms, you make all the rooms an in-suit. There's no family will ever complain to have so many in-suits.
Definitely.
You see, if instead of having a kitchen being a room, you can make it an open plan, for example.
Yeah.
So that alone creates a good exit strategy. You say, should something happen in the area, should the university be closed, this can easily become a normal rental home or a normal family house.
Yeah.
And I can sell it. I can still sell it this property and I'm out of here. So exit strategy is very key for any investment.
Do you find that most of us don't even have that exit strategy? We're just buying for the sake of, I love the idea of having and owning a house. And juxtapose that to what you said, that actually you make money at the purchasing point, not necessarily at the selling point. Do people on average have that in mind, the exit strategy?
No, not really. Very few have it. Because that also goes with the mindset itself. So when you are buying that, you see, alone, those are the information that will play a role in your decision-making, you know? So often I've seen clients that have come across with beautiful property and I thought they would buy it, but they look at it, that's our investors, they look at it and say, no, it will not work when I have to exit. So they are looking ahead and say, no, this will not make sense
That makes sense.
So
all right, how do I then manage this property? So I've bought it, it's in the area, I've checked, I've done this and this, I can afford it, I'm happy with it. How do I then manage it to make sure that in the long term, I can get to exiting and it being a fruitful investment at the end of the day? Do I always need to make renovations in between? How do I manage effectively?
If it's one property, you can maybe manage by yourself. But if you have multiple properties, you may consider professional management.
Okay.
You know, you may hire a manager to look after the property.
Yeah.
You know, we have many agencies that they do that.
Yeah.
And then you need, if you have one property, you need to know how to screen tenants.
Okay.
Because a good tenant will guarantee you a consistent income.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
And fewer headaches. So sometimes people are impatient and they take any tenant just because they need income. But doing a due diligence on that and carefully screening the right people will save you a lot of headaches in the future.
Screening, getting a proper person to manage this, especially if it's a multiple property investments that you might have, because that's how you build generational wealth. Any final thoughts from yourself, sir, on this very, very important topic, generational wealth through, of course, real estate? Final thoughts there.
Well, I would say that start now,
build
with what you have,
and
have the right structure in place to pass it on to the next generation.
Be it
property, be it wisdom, be it knowledge. Have that documented somehow so that you can pass it on to the next people.
Ah, that documentation part is very, very important.
Yeah.
Thank you, sir, for your time. Really appreciate you and God bless you.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much. That was our elder there, of course, Fernando, talking to us about, building wealth using, of course, our real estate there. It's a long journey, but it's a fruitful journey at the end of the day.
Adventist World Radio SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.